Well, God's grace and mercy and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of our sins as a free gift of grace. No matter what our circumstances in life, God reaches into us with his love and mercy and tells us he loves us, forgives us, and has an eternal place for us in heaven. So we're going to go through our Acts series of these Sundays after the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. We come into Acts chapter 10. And we've been looking at all the unity of the messages, the one baptism, the one word, and so forth. Today we hit with our message from Acts chapter 10, where Peter is telling Cornelius, there is only one peace, and I can only give you one testimony of that peace. And we're going to pull some things out of that as we go along. And as we see the early givers of the gospel, those early disciples were so few in number, and yet they had to take on numbers that were like 99.9% of all the people around did not understand that Jesus was risen from the dead. And so they were given the mission, what are you to do with the good news? They weren't really given the option to bury it or have someone else take care of it, or they were the ones sent with this good news. They had problems figuring out, how does this work? How is this going to happen? And so they had to do what was best. And an amazing thing, God kind of stepped in quite often with these people. In fact, there's this man named Cornelius. He's earlier on in chapter 10, but we're going to talk about him because he kind of sets up our text. Now, Cornelius, has anyone ever come across someone in your life named Cornelius? Anyone? In the first service, you had one person who knew someone, it was their middle name, but it was kind of a secret. So it's just not a very common name in our world today, but Cornelius is one of these strange people. He's this Roman centurion. And God's going to work in me. He kind of sends him a message. He says, I need you to send some men and bring Peter, and he's going to have a message for you. And so he does this. Cornelius, a strong centurion, the Roman guard, sends for Peter, and Peter arrives, and then Peter kind of gives the message of our text. He sits down and starts sharing this. And people that really look into these things and know this stuff and discover things, they remind us that just Cornelius was the first non-Jewish convert, the first Gentile. You know, that the word of God is now going out past. In fact, later in our text, they say, yes, the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, is also for the Gentiles. It's a universal Savior that we have for all people to come to faith and believe in him. So he's that first Gentile convert, but also, get the right spot, no partiality in verse 34. He starts off with this text, and they're giving this big message to this Gentile and his Gentile audience, and his message, Peter being a Jew and the others that follow him, he starts off his new message here in Cornelius and all of his listeners that God shows no partiality. As far as Christianity is concerned, as far as world history is concerned, this is the end of racism, so to speak, even though God entered it right at the beginning because he created all this and it's all there. So God shows no partiality, and so therefore, as we are made in his image and to follow his characteristics, we show no partiality in our lives either. We don't treat other people differently because of the color of their skin or where they're from. You know, I didn't really know this until I came to Venice, that people in Michigan are kind of at odds with people from Ohio. And people from Ohio are at odds with people from Michigan. Is there any truth to this? Okay, I think there is. And it's like, okay, right? Being from a little bit from Iowa, I'm just used to being the brunt of everyone's jokes. But you can see how this goes and gets into the world. But when we let God's word really speak to us, this becomes the end. But you can see that this is just the beginning of dealing with these relationships of the Jews and the Gentiles. As you kind of work through the book of Romans itself, you can see that Paul is working very hard to bring the church together. And the only commonality that really happens in this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new identity in being a child of God. we see that what separation brings is usually what we want and how we want it and when we want it. What brings the different message is we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. And this is his sermon, Peter's message, that Jesus, who was sacrificed, killed in our behalf, is now the one who brings us the forgiveness of our sins. So that is that unity. In Ephesians, we get the same message there. It says, the mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, heirs of the gospel, heirs of salvation, heirs of heaven, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, remember that we're to preach the gospel first for the Jew, then to the Gentile in Romans. He's given them all that opportunity, but also the gospel to the Gentiles. And he saw that church coming together in the body of Christ. Everyone special, everyone wonderful, every person gifted and blessed with the Holy Spirit in them, loved by God and ready to share their faith in Jesus' holy name. So that's that mystery is taken care of. And then Peter kind of lets Cornelius know, you know, the good news of peace is coming to us through Jesus Christ. This is it. This is the one piece. Cornelius, I know you're a centurion. I know you're a warrior. I know you command many people. You're in charge. But if you really want to understand peace, it will always be through Christ. It's not going to come to you from any other way. If you try to get peace from some other direction, some other way, you're always going to be frustrated. You're always going to be empty. You're always going to have lack of contentment, and you're probably always going to be mad at someone. But peace through Christ Jesus changes us. And that is the message that Peter had. Good old bold Peter from all of our Lenten messages is now the proclaimer of peace. No longer needing to get the sword out, Malchus is now safe. But now the bringer of peace in the name of Christ, who he knew is risen from the dead. Because this was the message of these disciples in the book of Acts. Jesus is risen, and he's risen for the forgiveness of our sins, as we find in our text. So he is now the giver of this one peace, only in Jesus Christ, trying to find peace from something else is always going to be empty. It may be fleeting. You may get peace for a very short time from something that's created. It may give you peace for a moment. It'll always let you down. Only peace that is in Christ Jesus is going to be eternal. It's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that can bring contentment in a world that likes to yell, in a world that's chaotic, in a world that likes to have its own way. The only way to have peace amongst that chaos is in Christ Jesus. And that is that one peace that only comes from the resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, that moves us from stamping our foot to going to our knees in prayer and service to God and to one another. So we see the one big testimony, the one testimony of Peter comes from this one peace, because Peter now understands the peace because the scriptures have been opened up to him. He's getting all this stuff. He says, now I give my testimony. And that testimony is, Jesus is risen for the forgiveness of my sins. And I live this out, as we had in our gospel reading, to bear fruit that abides. That we bear the fruit that abides, that continues on, that is blessed and moves along. It's because God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I love that right there in verse 38. I have no mistakes about this. God had anointed Jesus. He came out of the baptism. It's like our little girl yesterday, out of the waters of baptism, anointed by Jesus to be an heir of everlasting life. Jesus came up out of the waters, anointed by God to be the one who would be our Savior. No other would do. No other could do it. No other could even talk about it. And only the one sent by God out of love can take us, look at us, and see our sin, gathered up on himself because of his deep love so that we can be saved. So when you go through this text in Acts chapter 10, you start underlining the things that Peter has been called to do, the things that he's doing, and he, as was ahead of us as well with John and others that were called to do this. They're called to proclaim, to preach. They're called to testify. They're called to bear witness. That's how peace gets out. He said, what do we do with this gospel? God says, plant it, plant it, plant it, plant it. I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. You are called to give your testimony, give what God has done for you through the Son, Jesus Christ. You are the one that's bearing witness what God has done to you. You don't need to bear testimony what he did to someone else. You bear testimony what God has done to you, taking someone who's lost, condemned, blind, an enemy of God, and rejuvenating them, renewing them, converting them, saving them, bringing them into a new birth to bear witness of the gospel so that others may have the peace as we as well. In our first service, we were called on to pray for a young man whose life is totally a mess. He's in a dark, dark spot, and he's a relative to one of our members, and their heart is breaking for them. And we pray that somehow the gospel would be planted in this person's life, that this chaotic darkness can be changed to peaceful light in the Son of God. This is that beautiful mission that God has given the church to be the light of peace, the light of the testimony in the lives connected with this. Because you look at these texts that we've been walking through all through Acts so far. We only got a few left until we get to Pentecost and Trinity. But you see this theme every Sunday now. The Holy Spirit, the Word, and baptism. The Ethiopian had it. It was just all these texts that we've been doing. You see these three things. They're not separate things. You cannot, I'm going to try and do a little poetry here. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the Word or from baptism. You can't separate the Word from baptism or the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate baptism from the Word or the Holy Spirit, for all three are combined. Did that work? I think I got it right. But they're not separated. They're bound together. That's how God works in all of these texts. He brings them these acts of the church happen because of the Holy Spirit working in us, the Word working in us, connected in our baptism. And these are just some of the texts. We're not even looking at all of Scripture where there's much more involved with this all. We can't even get it all in, of course. But this is how God works in His church as we live out the gift. So when God looks at us, He sees us forgiven. But when God the Father looks at us, He sees a child that He loves and will have an eternity with. When God the Son looks at us, He sees us as washed clean in the blood of the Lamb and ready to hand us over to His loving Father for an eternity. When the Holy Spirit looks at us, He sees, I am the power source for their one peace, their one testimony. I am in them, in the Word, in the Spirit, in the baptism, in the supper, in the church, in the body of Christ, where everyone is equal and no partiality. Everyone is blessed with wisdom, with goodness, and salvation to be lived out in a beautiful way. Our vision here at Lakeside is that we are joyful Christians who inspire, and I got that one underlined today, where we inspire spiritual growth and discipleship. You know, it would have been really fun to take that gospel reading and take all the joy in that gospel reading and really let that one ring out. But now we're starting to move in a different dimension in this vision as we head into our middle of our second year of this. We got to start looking at this word inspire. This is what Acts is doing. The early church leaders were inspired by Jesus to be, to go, to make it happen through the power of the Holy Spirit, to encourage, to build. Good old Jeremiah, early in his ministry, was told, you're going to have to go, and you're going to have to build up or tear down. It's kind of the early office of the keys for him. And now we are called, like the prophets before us, like the disciples of Acts, inspire through prayer, through handshakes, through conversations, through love, whatever it may be, to inspire as we have been inspired. So that's the beauty of how this all works. And so here's what happens when we're inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, normally, the American culture is diagnosed as the consumer church. I want this, I want that, I need this, I need this music, blah, blah, blah. And you consume, right? Or you're the attractional church. Come join us because we're so awesome, right? But let's look at the Acts church. They lived in the church, not on Sunday morning only, but was daily church. Caring and loving for the children daily, for your spouse daily, for your friends daily. It was a missional church. Where is my peace and my testimony? That's the big difference between an Acts church and American culture church. And the big difference is the testimony and the peace. It's not a competition. It's a state of being, of saved by grace in Jesus Christ, that we live it out daily as God's mission for us. There's that old saying of replacement missionary, or that I support someone else to do the mission. It's not how it works in the Bible. We are the daily missional people who have been given peace and the testimony along the way. We have the one Spirit, the one Word, the one baptism. It's come upon us. You cannot hire a replacement like a Civil War person. Here's $300, take my place. The Holy Spirit has come upon us with one Word and one baptism. And He has given us this great opportunity to share and care and love with various people in our lives. Think about it. Who are three people in your life where you really need to encourage, pray for them, love them, and talk with them, and be a blessing to them because you have the peace. You have the testimony. You have the resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. You have it all, this one peace, this one testimony. We are simply following the way of God's mission, that we too go in peace with our testimony of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. This is our everlasting life in Christ Jesus. It is our act. It is our spot. Praise be to God, we have this little secret. Repentance for when we forget about it. Empowerment in the Holy Spirit to try again. The joy of thy salvation, the joy of everlasting life, the peace that leads us to love one another. It's what the church has and will have forever. It's victorious. It's who we are in Jesus' name. Amen.